want to return to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And let's stand and read it. It's 11 verses, so let's do it responsive reading. I'll read the first verse, you the second, and so on through verse 11. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with thee, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald.
And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was a flying eagle.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come.
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever,
the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying,
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word we have before us, and we thank you for the revelation you've given to us to know your salvation and to know your grace and mercy and your substitution. Lord, you've been very generous with us and blessed us in so many ways, and we give you thanks. Give us an open mind to your word today. Touch any heart and life here that can possibly be touched. We pray, Lord, that you'd have your way in this service in each of our lives. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're still in chapter 4, and I've got a few things with chapter 4 that I want to digress and go to some other verses about. But the idea, we have a revelation. And as you remember, when we first saw John, in the first chapter, he said, write what you've seen. Write what you've seen. So, as many prophecies, some of them in the Old Testament are visions. They can be a vision, they can be a dream, they can be just a flat word, just a word given out. But the book of Revelation is a prophecy, and it's given in visions. And so, some very interesting things about it, and the way it was taken care of. Now, the interesting thing, if you had never thought about it, the doors of John, the Apostle John, in the Scripture, there are four places where he deals with doors. You looked at this one right here, chapter 4, verse 1, a door was opened in heaven. I believe John is a type here of the church. And going out at the rapture, the old church, dead and living, are going to go together, they're going to be raptured out and go up, and they'll be in heaven from chapters 4 through chapter 19. And I think you'll see that as we go along. So there's a door. What's a door? Door for the church to go out and to go up and to be with the Lord. And the Bible says to be ever with the Lord. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 7, we have another door. This is in the Gospel of John. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go out, go in and out and find pasture. That's the door of salvation. Who's the door of salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go in any other door. There is no one else that has a salvation such as Christianity preaches. You know, everybody is telling you to live and work and do good and be good, and God's just interested in all of these things. No. The salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have to pay anything to get it, if you have to pay anything to keep it, it's not worth having. You know why? Because you'll mess it up. Anybody in here doesn't believe that? You ought to just look at your life. I'll talk to you for about 5-10 minutes, and you'll stumble sometime and break your leg too. You know, we do a lot of things, don't we? And we try to do, we make all sorts of plans. How many of you can stick on a diet? Well, I know some of you skinny people can. But the rest of us don't live too well on our diets, do we? So you think you can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly pure all of your life and that you're going to get rewarded with heaven? No, it's a gift. It's a gift. And it comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Any other name will not work. Will not work. So salvation is a gift, and so the door of salvation is Jesus. Then look at Revelation chapter 3 right where you are, chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Here's the door of evangelism. Here's a little church that's going through a lot of trouble. It's not a big church. It's not a rich church. But they're witnessing. They're faithful to the word. They're faithful to the name. And so what did God tell them? He said, I've set before you an open door. Nobody can shut it. How about that? That's what Paul was praying for many times. He said, pray for me that I'd have an opening, that I could utter the gospel and preach it, and there'd be people to receive it and whatever. So that's another door. And then there's another one in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's another door. That's a door of fellowship with Jesus. That's the door of learning. That's the door of getting knowledge and wisdom and blessing. Come to Him. The Lord comes and knocks on the door. You ever, the Lord knock on your door? I didn't seek the Lord. The Lord sought me. I wasn't just real religious and deciding that I wanted to be really righteous and really working at reading the Bible and trying to be good. Were you? And maybe some of you were. Maybe you were very religious. I wasn't that way. I mean, all of a sudden I was hit and I was convicted and I said, Lord, I didn't realize how big a sinner I was. Forgive me. And wow, that was the start of it. He knocked on my heart's door. Did he knock on your door? Well, anyway, there's the four doors. Now look at verse 2. First of all, he said, a door was opened in heaven in verse 1. I heard the words of a trumpet talking. It come up hither. I'll show the thing, it must be hereafter, and immediately. Immediately. It wasn't a long trip. We're talking light years here. About the best way I can understand it, with the hints there are in the Word of God as to where heaven is, it's somewhere beyond the North Star. You know what everything points to in the heavens? The North Star. That's the one star that doesn't move. That's the one star you can navigate by. That's the one star that you can always, when you find it, you know what direction it's going to be. It's going to be north. And heaven is somewhat up there. There's a place where, one place where it's talking about Jerusalem, and then it talks about northward out of Jerusalem towards the heaven. Check it out if you want to. Look up north and see what you find in your Bible. At any rate, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He's all of a sudden Not in 2 weeks, not in 6 months, not in 5 years. Immediately. Immediately, he's in the presence of God. Wow. Okay. A couple of other instances of that. Look in Revelation 21:9. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. And he was set to look upon with jasper and stone. No, that's not what I wanted. Okay. He carried me away in the Spirit. He carried in Revelation 17 is another one. He carried me away in the Spirit, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set up on a scarlet-covered beast full of names of blasphemy. What John has done has been transported into heaven, and God is moving around for a vision here, and a vision here, and a vision here, and a vision here. One of the reasons why, I think there's another book like it in the Bible. Now, there's some visions in the Bible in some of the Old Testament prophets. But what you have in the book of Revelation is the description of a bunch of visions that this Apostle John got when he was there. Okay, now verse 3. He's looking at the throne. He says, he that sat on was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, I'm not good with stones. And I look these up, but I don't want to try to teach them. But they're bright, beautiful, semi-precious jewels. And in fact, some of these jewels are on the high priest's chest. You know, the Urim and the Thummim and all of that. And the priest went when he went to pray, and he had that vest with these 12 stones on there. Well, these are some of them. And so it said he was like this. And there was a rainbow around about the throne. Well, now, what is a rainbow? What did the Bible tell you in Genesis rainbow represented? Mercy. The mercy of God. I mean, I'll not flood the world anymore like I did that one time. So it's the mercy of God. After God's judgment, here's the mercy. So we got a rainbow around this seat in the heavens that he looks at. And it's like an emerald. It's beautiful. It's fiery. A throne always represents judgment. And a rainbow represents mercy. So here's a vision. I'm looking upon this being, upon this throne, in this place where I'm at in heaven. I've been transported immediately, boom, up there. Now I'm looking at it and I'm trying to tell you what it looks like. And a lot of these things, of course, they're symbolic. And you can find the reason for them and the symbolism of them in other verses in the Bible. But there's no book like this. This is an absolute fantastic book. Now, verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. All right. Crowns of gold would mean they'd be kings too. We're going to reign with him, kings and priests. White raiment, that represents righteousness. This is a righteous bunch. There's 24. Well, where does 24 come in? Well, how about 12 tribes of Israel? How about 12 apostles of the Lamb? All redeemed humanity up to that time was raptured out. And here are these elders, whoever they are sitting round about the throne. And that's the picture that you get in this chapter. Saw 24 elders clothed in white raiment. They're righteous people. Had on their heads crowns of gold. You ever hear we're going to reign with him? Praise the Lord. What he's got a vision of there is 24 people who are special and privileged and whatever. And I think 12 and 12, we've got it in the Old Testament, you got it in the apostles. I think they represent redeemed humanity. Now look at verse 5. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Wow. I mean, you got a light show here. How many people will go out to Six Flags and pay to watch that beautiful light show? You like to see all that firecrackers popping up there? Wow. You ever been in a real lightning storm? They used to think I was crazy. I would love to walk in a lightning storm. I would go out there and have a raincoat on and a hat on my head and a walking stick, and I would just walk in that cracking, booming, doing whatever. Now, I didn't raise my golf club. I enjoyed looking at those lightning, and you see it crack all the way across the sky. I wonder how much electricity is in that one flash. I wonder how long it would run the city of San Antonio. It's amazing. And that's what we got around about the throne here. It says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. All right, what's the number seven? Completeness, perfection. That's what it is. So I think this represents the Holy Spirit. Some people say God can't be everywhere. Well, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Holy Spirit's in each one of us. Holy Spirit can be a presence outside of each one of us in this room right here. He said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I with you. Who's he talking about? It's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus living inside of us. He's everywhere. Now, the devil is not everywhere. There are a lot of devils out there. He took a pretty good group of them with him when he fell. But, wow. Now, thinking about that, in Matthew 3:11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. This is John. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, that can be seen several ways. The Holy Ghost would save you and fire would damn you. It can also be, as you saw on Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit of God came upon these men that are going to speak in 16 different foreign languages, and they didn't learn them, but they're going to preach the gospel in 16 different foreign languages. They had on tongues of fire. So along with the Holy Spirit, you have fire. Luke 3:16 said, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. One mightier than I cometh, the latch of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So I believe we're talking about the Holy Spirit. This is God, redeemed humanity, the Holy Spirit of God, and that's what the vision is and what you're seeing. Immediately he's in heaven and he's got this vision here with redeemed humanity sitting around about the throne. They're all sitting on their seats, their thrones. There's a lot of praise and there's shouting and there's glory and there's lightning and there's fire. Doesn't the Bible say our God is a consuming fire? Look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, you've heard of cherubim and seraphim. Well, cherub is singular. Cherubim is plural. Seraph is singular. Seraphim is plural. These are these beasts. Now, see them back in Ezekiel. And they're there with their wings and their eyes and all sorts of things. And Ezekiel saw them. Now, over there, I think, if I remember right, it's four wings that he saw. Could have been the same ones. I think he just saw four wings where John saw six. Interesting creatures. The first beast was like a lion. Now, what does a lion seem to you? Do you think you sacrifice lions? No, they sacrifice you. A lion, they say, is the king of the beast. And when a lion roars, everybody fears. Lion's strong. He's majestic in power. How many kings wanted lions or statues of lions around them? They're the lion. Second beast was like a calf. Well, what was strength before we had automobiles and steam engines and whatever? The oxen. You want something to pull a big wagon full of loaded things that you need? You had oxen. They're so strong. And the third beast had the face of a man. I would say that represents intelligence. If you don't recognize God, the highest intelligence you know is man. Isn't it amazing what we can do? And think what God has done. I'm amazed at God, and the older I get, the more amazed I get at God. He's amazing. DNA, when they came out with it and explained it in Reader's Digest. What was that book with all the other countries and animals and National Geographic, I think it was. And they had a good article explaining DNA as they discovered it. It blew my mind. How many parts to that DNA? And some idiot thinks that's an accident? I'm telling you, there are a lot of educated idiots. That's the truth. Your computer has a program. Some of you are programmers. I'm not. I can barely turn the on key. And my great-grandchildren can handle their phones better than I can handle these new phones. That's all right. I don't be in here that much longer. So I think I'll make out all right. But wow. What is inside of you, and we could make another you? You say, oh, please don't. I know. I'd like another me. No, I really wouldn't. That's intelligence. Fourth beast was like a flying eagle. It'd be swiftness. You know, the world really loves Jesus as a baby, and the world loves Jesus as a lamb. They don't like him as a lion. They don't want him majestic and kingly and boss. They don't want a grown Jesus, not with his word, not with his commands, not with his sacrifice. They don't want that. The world loves him as a baby. The world loves him as a lamb. But he's a lion. He's not only a lamb. He was a lamb, but he's also a lion. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, were full of eyes within. They rest not day nor night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Wow, we got a lot of glory there, don't we? God, God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's God. Nobody else. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. There's your eternal life. Cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Wow. Here's this glory that God is showing to John for him to pass on to us. This is something that they didn't understand this in the Old Testament. In fact, there's a whole lot of Christians today that don't understand it right now. We don't see God as glorious as we ought to. I'll tell you, the book of Revelation makes him very glorious. He's big. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's wise. He's great. The Bible says he cast out the stars with the span of his hand, the heavens. How big is that hand? Well, according to all the astronomers today, and those, we're talking about millions and light years and billions and whatever. Nothing to God. Have you ever thought about all the animals he created? I heard a preacher one time, he's a very famous preacher and really well set up and everything like that. And he said, God loves beauty. And he was talking about some beautiful woman in the church, whatever. It's a big congregation. God loves beauty, and it just hit me. God loves variety. Take a look around. There's a whole lot of beauty in here? I'm sorry, but I don't think there's a whole lot of beauty in here. I would like to think I was beautiful, but I don't think I am. And bless your heart, beauty in one person's eyes is different than beauty in another person's eyes. During the Middle Ages, fat women were the most beautiful. They're the ones that painted pictures of. Whatever. Now then, they got these models. They're all skin and bones. They can't eat. Bless their hearts. They got to live on spinach. Like Popeye. Thou art worthy. Now, you notice we were talking about these creatures. I have come to believe, because of chapter 28 of Ezekiel, verse 14. You might look it up. I've come to believe that Satan was not exactly an angel, but he was a cherub. Because it makes a statement in Ezekiel 28:14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now we have four cherubs around about the throne, but there's not one above. And so, take it for what it's worth, I believe Satan was the anointed cherub that covered. And he wanted to be God. And therefore he rebelled and carried great many with him. These are very powerful, wonderful beings created by God for his glory. Now, look back at Daniel chapter 12. I wish you could go back to it. Daniel chapter 12, starting with verse 1. I personally believe that if you really studied and understood Daniel and Revelation, you've got all the prophecy you need for the Christian church from here on in. It's the whole world, those two books put together. But look at chapter 12 of Daniel. Daniel, have you ever really studied Daniel, read Daniel, and seen the prophecies he made and how he described the history of the world up to their time and all the way to the end? Well, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, who's Michael? The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is the angel for the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now, listen to this. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. A time of trouble like has never been. Have you studied any history? The world's full of trouble. You realize how many wars are going on around the world today? Do you realize how divided we are in this country that somebody just goes and shoots, kills 59 people or 58 people and nobody knows why? How about all of the people that are killed and run, take a bus and run over people in a crowd? Crazy things are happening. Look what we have out in California. They're burning up, and the east is flooding down. We just filled with how many hurricanes down here in Texas. The Texas coast will be years getting back to what it was. Think how many people lost so much. Now, maybe you didn't. I didn't. They said, fill your bathtub with water. And they thought that hurricane was going to come up here and sit over San Antonio for a while. Well, I filled my bathtub full of water. You say, well, you worried about that? No, I just prepare. I'm a Boy Scout. Amen. Be prepared. That's my thing. Now, here's Daniel. And that's the 12th chapter. Daniel has been giving all of these prophecies down. You really ought to study him because he gives you the ancient history of the world and how it runs all the way out to the end. And then notice what it says here. I think it's very important, and I think it's because it really has a lead-in and an importance to the book of Revelation and how we understand it. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, the Jews. There shall be a time of trouble, the tribulation period, such as never was. Since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now look at verse 2. And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. That's what John's been showing us a little bit here. Brightness of the firmament. And they shall turn many to righteousness. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that something? You're a soul winner? You try to turn people to righteousness, you're going to shine like the stars, what it says in here. Wonderful. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words. Seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Here's what I believe. What Daniel sealed, John revealed. That's why Revelation is so special. God told Daniel, Daniel saw the rest of it. And God said, don't write it. Stop right here. And he held him back because it wouldn't have helped him. They were too far back. They weren't to the time of the church. They weren't at this time of the book of Revelation. You can tell that Revelation is where it is because the message to the seven churches in Turkey, Asia Minor. He said, Daniel, shut up the words. Seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Wow. How about that? I do believe that the book of Revelation is the revelation of what Daniel sealed. And I believe that Daniel, in his own heart, he saw all these things, and it troubled him many times. But if you study Revelation, and you study the book of Daniel as a background to Revelation, you'll get some of these things. You'll see some of them. And it's not a curse to you in the church. It's a blessing. In fact, when he's talking about the rapture, it says, comfort one another with these words. Now, okay, we look out at the world today. It's a messed up world, isn't it? It's a messed up world. We look out everywhere around the world. It's not just here or just in poor places. Everywhere around the world, there's all sorts of trouble, and we wonder, what in the world can we do about it? And we have a hard time knowing. Well, it looks to me like that what we have here in the book of Revelation is what Daniel sealed and telling us know what the end times are going to be like. Now go back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the back sealed with seven seals. Look at your Bibles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's your seven sealed book. Isn't it amazing? I'll bet you the guys that put it on there don't even know the symbolism. That's just the way they print the book. This was a scroll. It wasn't a book like my Bible. It was a scroll. It had seven seals on it. A seal is something's been melted. Some sort of wax or even gold or whatever has been melted and put the pages together as that scroll is rolled up. And then they put their seal, they put their ring or whatever is symbol that they have to show that I'm the one that sealed this, and If you don't have that same ring to put it back, you can't take it apart and put it back and get away with it. He sees a book. It's sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel. Now, what does that mean? Muscular? I think so. Not a skinny angel, not a weak angel, not a little angel, a strong angel. Proclaiming with a loud voice, and here's the question, who's worthy? Who is worthy? Well, I'm not worthy. Are you worthy? They looked around heaven, they couldn't find anybody that was worthy. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, what's going to happen is we're going to have the rest of Revelation tied in with these seven seals. When you get to the seventh seal, then you're going to have things coming out of the seventh seal. It's going to unleash the tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble, the worst time the world has ever known for a period of about 2, 3.5, 7 years. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, buried and resurrected, God's prophetic clock coming down with Israel came on down to a point and they rejected the Messiah and he stopped the clock. There's 7 years on it still from all of the prophecies in the Old Testament. 7 more years to go. Now what's going to happen between chapter 4 and 5 and chapter 19? These are things that are happening in heaven and on the earth during that 7 years. And it's broken up for you. Okay. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John saying, it broke my heart. Who's going to open those seals? Because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders, one of those 24, don't know which one it was, but said, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold the Lamb. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It doesn't say, behold the Lamb. It says, behold the Lion. Jesus came as a lamb. Bless your heart, he came as a lamb. He suffered and was sacrificed as a lamb. When he comes back, he's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. What does that tell you? Hey, mercy time is over. It's time for the king to reign. And the king's going to put things straight. Things are going to be right. Who is worthy? No man in heaven, and I wept much. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's also the offspring of David, by the way. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. All right, the seals are going to be broken. We're going to know what's in that book. That holy book that's there. It's got these seven seals. God's sealed it that it can't be opened. Only a special person can open it, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's what he's showing you here. Weep not, behold, a Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's also the offspring of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lion. Stood a lamb. He is both the lamb and the lion, bless your hearts. Yes, he is. He is a suffering savior that made sacrifice for your sins, but he's king of kings and lord of lords, and he's God Almighty with eternal life. That's who is here. And I looked, lo and behold, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You ever wonder what happens to your prayers? We pray a lot around here. I pray every day. I pray just while I'm driving in a car. I pray while I'm watching television. I think of something and I just talk to God about it. In my mind, I don't get out on my knees, close my eyes, and fold my hand. I'm just talking to God. You know, you may think God doesn't hear you. Well, right here it shows they're the prayers of the saints. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. Wow. Him that cometh to me out of no wise cast out. Wow. Maybe I'll spend more time praying, reckon? Reckon we can spend better time, more time praying? God's going to recognize them. They're going to be answered. They're going to be blessings coming. And here they are. This is vials full of incense. That's what your prayers are. How they're represented here before the throne of heaven that John saw. Your prayers are vials of incense floating up to God Almighty. Wow. Which are the prayers of saints. They sung a new song. A lot of you musicians like new songs. I like the old ones better myself, but I like new songs. Well, here's a new song. I think you'll rejoice with this new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If you just believe it, you won't get too upset with all the things happening to you down here. If you just believe it, you wouldn't be as frustrated as you are. If you just believe it, you wouldn't be complaining as much as you do. If you just believe it, if you just take the beauty that's here, this is dramatic. Boy, what a scene. It's majestic. Wow. Here's what John got up there and saw. No wonder he wrote a great big book nobody can understand. Wow. You know what's happening? God is taking center stage. God's not in the background anymore. God's getting ready to take center stage. He's coming back. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And the world will see her peace. And there'll be joy. And there'll be victory. And there'll be righteousness. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will reign over it all. Verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Any of you smart mathematics, tell me what that is? 10 million. 1,000 thousands is 1,000,000. So he said, all those voices are there, 10 million and millions and millions. He don't know how many is there. It's a huge crowd. I remember one time when I was a Southern Baptist pastor, I went to the evangelism conference in Fort Worth. It was in a huge auditorium. I don't remember what the auditorium was. It was a huge auditorium. Preachers from all over the nation, even around the world. And there were 10,000 preachers and people inside that thing. I was in one of the nosebleed seats. I was a young man, you know, way back up there in the nosebleed seats. And they began to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. It was a volume. They were all loud singers. It was a volume. It touched my heart. Wow. That singing of those thousands of men of God. I'm just a little podunk preacher from way back, and I'm up in the nosebleed seats, but it touched me. What do you think is going to be when millions of strong-throated angels start saying a new song? Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You made us unto our God kings and priests. I'm a king and a priest. What about you?
Amen.
That's your future. We shall reign on the earth. And I behold and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You can say that today. That's the gospel that's been preached to you. That's the gospel we hold up. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, look at this verse, verse 13. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and I'll look at the next one, and under the earth. And such as are in the sea, and all of them heard my saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. John 16:33, and I'm going to finish with two verses out of John. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You got to understand that. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. What's going to be the judge? The word that I've spoken. The same shall judge him at the last day. What a vision to take John sitting on an island, ostracized, set apart, being punished for being a preacher of the gospel, maybe the last living apostle. And here he gets this vision. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. He's got one that's going to judge him. The very word he rejected. Hey, honor the word of God. Read it, study it. The more you read it, the more you study it, the more you'll understand. You'll be reading along somewhere down the line, and all of a sudden a verse will hit you, and it'll come back in your mind. I had a problem with this over here, and now then there's the answer to it. The Bible really defines itself. And if you quit changing it, trying to make it say what you want it to say, let it say what it says, and study it and find out what it has to say, you'll get a blessing. You'll learn something. You might actually understand more about what's going to happen in the world than your leaders do. Because it's written in the book. God bless you.